Good afternoon, everybody. I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer before we get started here. Get started on the right foot. Lord, we just look to you tonight, Lord. We just pray that your will would be done within this place, Lord, and within our hearts and within our minds. Lord, I just pray that you'd have your hand upon me, Lord, that you would help me to step aside, Lord, and your message just work through me, Lord. I just pray that you'd have your will within this place tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, on Wednesday nights, I feel like I can get away with giving a little heavier of messages sometimes, because maybe I'm wrong in my perspective, but sometimes Sunday church people, they're coming out of habit, you know what I mean? But people that come on Wednesday or on midweek services in different times, to me, I feel like they're a little hungrier and a little thirsty for more of God. So sometimes I don't like to hold my punches on them. I'm going to give it to them a little heavier on a midweek service. So keep your guard up. Because if you know me, I like to tell a little joke or a little thing, get you off your guard, and then sneak you with a low blow when you're not paying attention and make you, you know, rethink how life's going. And tonight I'm feeling a little nostalgic. Corey, he brought out his old Bible. I've been preaching using my iPad all the time, and it's kind of nice, but when I seen my old Bible at home and it had a little dust on there because I'm always using the iPad or the computer or the phone, it kind of broke my heart a little bit, and I had to dust her off a little and bring it tonight to preach. You know, I've been kind of going through a little bit of a mental struggle a little on the state of the world today. You know, I'm not, you know, my wife, she's a little more interested in like the end times and prophecies that are coming and kind of looking for the signs and these things. And I've always been one that figures the end's always going to sort itself out. I'm a little more worried about what's happening here and now and making sure that I'm in the things of God. And whether it's post-trib, pre-trib, whatever happens down the road, that'll all sort itself out. I'm just seeking God, right? I don't want to be distracted from today. But, you know, the future's definitely been weighing a little bit hard on my heart. Because I really see what's been happening, especially in the last 3 or 4 years with COVID and these different little restrictions and how attacks have become against Christianity and things that if I would have told you just 5 years ago that they would shut down churches and there would be no uproar or anything else about it, you wouldn't believe me. And the way that they've pit certain people against other people and how, you know, you can be a U.S. citizen and your U.S. rights, they don't apply if you don't listen. You know what I mean? It's like whether you think someone's right or wrong, they have rights. And they've moved around that and pit people against each other and take people on one side and other side and get them arguing even amongst in their own family. You know, and I just really feel in my heart that days like tonight are actually limited, where we can come together in a church like this and we can worship openly and speak openly. It's just a matter of time before, you know, speech like this is labeled hate speech and you're not going to be free to announce that from a pulpit. You know, and it's really weighing on my heart is what is the future going to look like when we can't gather like this? You know, because to me, even now, I feel like the church is failing. You know, not just church, but churches all around have lost their focus. And I feel like they're failing in a whole. You know, I want to share a scripture with you. We're going to go to Colossians 1, read 28 and 29. It says, "And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me." You know, when you look at this, what this is saying, this is Paul's goal. This is what his ministry, he says, this is what I'm striving for, is that every man made complete in Christ. You know, the reason why I've started using my little Bible app and things like that is because it's nice. I can just click on that word and it'll give me the Hebrew and the Greek and the different translations of it. You know, and when you click on that complete, it also comes up as mature. You know what? That's Paul's goal was not how many people are sitting in a church or how many people can gather at my meetings, but how many mature Christians can I create for Christ? You know, and that's also God's goal, is for us to become mature Christians. You know, it's not just how many people can I get in the pews, how much money can I get in the offering. You know, the measure of success in a church today is how many people you have in attendance. I mean, no matter what anybody wants to say, that's the feeling of successful church, is how many people I got coming. But God's idea of success is how many mature people are attending that church. That's his measure of success. You know, and that changes our my perspective a little bit. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to read 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I give you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able to receive it. You know, a little fun fact is, you know, he's writing back to people that he ministered to previously. You know, if you look at when Paul was in Corinthians, it was about 50 AD. When he's writing the book of Corinthians, is approximately 55 AD. So there's about a five-year gap in there. And he's writing back, and he's trying to talk to them, and he's saying, you ought to be mature by now. You know, in 5 years, he's expecting more maturity out of the people that he mentored. You know, but yet they're still babes, and they need milk, not solid food, is what he's saying. You know, so if that's a measure of what Paul's expecting within 5 years, that you start to see mature Christians, how many people are sitting in church for more than 5 years that are still babes in Christ? You know, a lot of the times, don't think that I'm just yelling at other people. I'm pointing the finger at myself more often than not. When I'm preaching because I've been convicted of different things. But what is the difference between a mature Christian that eats solid food and a babe that needs milk? You know, if we look at what a baby needs to survive, who survives on just milk is babies. You know, babies are completely helpless, are they not? But we love them. You know what I mean? But they need, every need that they have needs to be taken care of for them. You got to change their diaper. They cry, you give them food, you burp them, you dress them, you bathe them. Everything that needs to happen needs to be done for them. You know, and that's fine. When a baby's just born, that's expected. But now when they're 20 years old, if I got to give them that same treatment, something's gone wrong. You know what I mean? If I got to go in there and bathe my 17-year-old son and change his diaper and hand feed him all his food, something's gone wrong. You know, there needs to be a maturity, and even in Christians. You know, if we're 15, 20 years down the road and we can't have solid food, we got to be spoon-fed everything else, something's wrong in our life, and we need to evaluate that. What's wrong is the church today has become inward-focused. You know, and that's what a baby is inward-focused. Everything's about me, and I'm going to cry when I don't get what I need so that I get what I need. You know, a mature person starts to look outward. They start to take care of their own needs, and they start to see things that weren't there as they were a baby. And that's what God is calling us, is he's calling us to put on a different mindset, a different vision. Is that mature Christian is putting on the goggles of Christ. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing things through my perspective. What's going to be better for me? You know, how do I change my life and my circumstances? I get out of that and I start seeing life through God's perspective. What does God want me to do? You know, brother's just quitting his job saying he's going to serve in the church. What does God want me to do? These are the steps of starting to get out of that infancy into a maturity, is God is calling more, not what I need for me, but what God needs of me. That's the steps of maturity. You know, and tonight I'm going to look at four different things that are signs of maturity and things that we can do to start to mature as Christians. You know, the first one, what is the sign of someone starting to mature a little? You know, my son, he's actually gotten bigger than me. You know, he's like 6 foot, and I think I still outweigh him because my belly's nice and big. But yet, he has not yet matured. I tease him all the time. I said, he hasn't gotten his man strength yet. You know, when there's that big piece of firewood out there, old dad, who's not in his prime anymore, is still stronger than him because his body's not fully matured. So one of the first things that is a sign of maturity is strength. And how do we gain in strength? You want to throw that picture up there? Did Rocky, did you show him that picture that I want to have up there? Ooh, boom. Now, this is me 3 years ago, pre-COVID. Yeah, I was working with a bunch of guys that were 10 and 15 years younger than me, and they were heavy exercisers. So they started dragging me in, and I started exercising. I was running stupid miles. This picture of me is at mile 46 of an ultra marathon, and I'm still smiling. Now, this is me today, 3 years later. I had to run 200 yards down the hallway at work, and I was huffing and a puffing. You know what I mean? I work in a jail, and we got to run to incidences and then try to talk to people. And man, I run 200 yards, and I'm like, whew, whew. Just stop. Let me breathe before we can talk, you know? I mean, what's happened? Huh? You know, our mindset, if I ran more miles that year than probably almost my whole life put together. You know, if I would have spaced those miles that I ran out that 1 year, I'd still be in shape today. But there's truth to the fact that use it or lose it. You know what I mean? If you don't actively do something, you ain't actively going to be able to do something. You know what I mean? So it's building strength is actively doing something on a daily basis on the regular. And if you don't do it, you lose it. You know, and spiritual things aren't any different. You know, how many of you know the example that God laid out in the Bible is for our daily use? You know, and how do you know when Moses was taking people out of slavery, what is that example for us in the Bible? You know, it took them out of slavery, into the promised land, all the trials and things that they went through. What is that example for us? It's a life example on what we're supposed to do. That's supposed to, what our life is supposed to look like, going from bondage and slavery into the promised land and all the things that happened along the way were examples on how we're supposed to live our life. You know, so let's look in Exodus. We're going to look at Exodus 16 and 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instructions. So, I mean, you just think of that. God made food fall from heaven. But he did all these things to see whether they could follow his instructions. And what was the instructions that he gave them? Gather today's portion only. Every day go out and gather today's portion. You know, so if this is the example that we're supposed to be living, what is God telling us? You know what I mean? Sunday church is not where we just need to go and gather our strength from. Just like me running, if we're not doing this on the daily basis, we're losing our ability and our strength in Christ. It doesn't matter how much time you've spent in the Word or learning or going to Bible school or any of these other things, God is calling us to spend daily time with Him. You know, and that's how we build in strength. I mean, Paul spent more time in the Word than anybody I probably know. Can he just stop? And there's probably not too many things that he doesn't know. But there's things that are coming down the road that he might need something new. You know what I mean? His brother's going through cancer and things like that. He just lost his father. Every day there's a new trial and there's a new thing that God is trying to show you. You know, you can read the word over and over. And I mean, there's scriptures that I got committed to memory. But all of a sudden, he brings it up and it's something new that day. You know what I mean? So it's a living document that gives us strength. You know, and that's the first step of, is that strength into that maturity is we've got to learn how to go to God's word and get something that is for our daily life. You know, it's kind of like what we're doing right here. This is the world news, right? I sit there and I give a message out to a bunch of different people, and hopefully something's kind of, you know, you get informed on something. But what you need the local news in your life. You know what I mean? God's trying to talk to you. You know, if you remember that old weather guy, he would give you the world weather, and then he'd say, and in your neck of the woods, and they'd flip over to your local people, and they'd tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. You know what I mean? That's what God wants. It's fine to come here and get informed and get things, but he's also wanting to work with you one-on-one. He's wanting to give you stuff that is in for your life alone and gives you that strength to go down the road to maturity. You know, and if we don't do that, we're going to lose it. Even if we do it for a time and then step back from that, we're going to lose that strength in Christ and we're going to lose that maturity. Amen? You know, the next one I'm going to read is in Proverbs 11, 1 through 3. So the first step that we're going to look for is building in strength for maturity. The next one we're going to find here in Proverbs, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But when humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them. But the falseness of the falseness of the treacherous will destroy them. You know, the part that really stands out, it says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. You know, integrity is something that is part of maturity. You know, how many of you remember that show Seinfeld? I remember for a time I used to watch, it probably wasn't the most appropriate show, but I was a young man not doing so good in my life myself, and I watched a lot of Seinfeld. And I remember a particular episode where the one guy, he was falling apart because what he said is he had different worlds that were colliding. You know, he had his world with his friends where they would go to the cafe and hang out with his little friends. And then he had his little world at work. And then he had his world with his fiance at home. And then his fiance started hanging out with his friends. And his world started to collide, and then she started showing up at work, and he's losing it because he had these three different identities that weren't the same, and they're colliding with each other. You know, and we do that very often as Christians. We've got our different identities. This is my Sunday Pastor Seth identity over here, and this is my work identity over here where I act different and I talk different and I've got a different personality over there, and then this is my dad personality at home. But integrity is something where you bring together everything under the obedience of Christ. You know, and integrity is something that shows within your life. Because if you have these three different identities, there's never going to be any maturing in your life. You know, you're going to have this split personality. Which one gets fed is which one's going to grow. You know what I mean? And God is calling us to surrender our entire life over to him. And when we have integrity, something changes. You know, you try to teach your kids many different things. But what do you know? What's the most powerful teacher? Is your example. You know what I mean? I yell at my kid. He'll use my shovel or something, and wherever he finished using it, that's where it is. And I don't know where it is anymore. You know, you go to use your shovel, and it's gone. And I'll yell at him. I'm like, Dad, if you use my shovel, put it back where you got it from. But yet when I'm working, I leave whatever tool is wherever I left it. You know what I mean? So I'm telling him, do what I say, not what I do. You know what I mean? But a lot of your learning is learned behaviors by just watching others. And a mature Christian, if you watch them, you can start to learn their behaviors by the actions that they're doing, not by the words that are coming out of their mouth. And that's what's happened in church today, is you got these big mega churches because nobody wants anybody close to them because they might see the integrity or lack thereof in their life. You know what I mean? The head pastor is more of a movie star than he is a figure that you can go and learn from by proxy. And that's not what God is calling. He's calling mature Christians to rub off on each other. And sometimes you don't even understand how it's happening or what you're doing is affecting other people. You know, I'd like to give an example. I was whining a couple months ago because you invest into people's life. And when those people fail, it hurts. You know, I love guys like Rocky, and he'll have a stumble, and it hurts. You know, and I wasn't being a mature Christian like I should be, and I was whining to God. I'm saying, you know, God, why aren't people maturing like they should be? You know, I'm having a little temper tantrum. You know, it's like we've had the program. So many people have gone through there. It's like, why can't God just get a hold of these people? And it just feels like you're wasting time sometimes, and I'm having a pity party. You know, I'm like, just show me one that's doing good. You know what I mean? It's like, these struggles go on for everybody. You know what I mean? Not everybody's mature all the time. You know, and I'm struggling, and I thought, you know, just like that was saying, you know, God was going to destroy the city, but just show me one. You know, I was kind of having that thought process. It's just show me someone who's doing good. You know, my brother here, his face came up. You know, he went through the program and he spent some time readjusting some things in his life. And I can't think of a moment that I've been in the church where I haven't seen either of their faces. You know what I mean? Integrity. You know, that's not because of obligation that they show up every time. It's because they're starting to have integrity in their life and God is doing something in them. And sometimes you don't understand what you do, how it affects others, and that integrity wears off. Amen? You know, the last point that I would like to share with you is in Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 and 14. It said, but food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You know, the last point that I'd like to share is, you know, a sign of maturity is discernment. You know, discernment is really when you start to see a child become an adult. When you can see something that is going to happen before it can happen, that's discernment. You know, and how do you learn discernment in life? You know, I know my daughter, she was whining to me about her husband. They've been married like 2 years now, and I try to be nice. I'm like... My mom, her concept was, don't ever complain about your spouse to me. You know, because that was my grandma's thing also, that, you know, once you're complaining about your spouse to your mom, she says, long after you've forgiven your spouse, I'm still angry with them, you know. So she doesn't like to, she won't hear no complaining. You know, my daughter, she was complaining because her husband, they grew up a little different way. There was all four boys in the house, and they didn't cook at home. There was large things in their life that wasn't shown to them. You know what I mean? Good kid. Put himself through college, paid his college, got a good job, good supporter, good godly man. But there's a lot of things that he just doesn't, he was never taught as a kid. You know, and she's complaining. She says, man, I just wish he would maybe cook sometimes or clean or do this or do that, you know. And she's kind of complaining on him and says, do you ever let him? Because every time I'm with him, she's always telling him what to do. And I said, you got to back down a little. You know what I mean? I'm like, and I explained to her, I'm like, you just got to let him try. He's like, well, he can't do it. I'm like, no, he can't do it now. But I tell her, think back of when you were a child. You know, when you were a child and I'd take you camping, I'd say, go start a campfire. You know, and they'd go over there and they'd go get these big big green trees that ain't going to burn. And, you know, they grab big logs like that and they try to light a match to it. And it ain't, I could tell you right from the beginning that it ain't going to work. You know what I mean? Because as an adult, you had more discernment. You learned how to start a campfire when you were a kid. You know, and I could step right in there and I could show her what to do right away. But is she going to learn? The best way to learn sometimes is let them fail and then show them where they went wrong. You know, to me, that's how the best way I learned discernment was once I failed, if you learn how to dissect that and go back and redo it and have somebody instruct you on what you did wrong, then you learn. You know, that's what I did with my kids camping on simple things. Once you failed, you show them, hey, this is a live tree. It ain't going to burn. Let's go find some dry wood. Let's start with some small wood and then bring it up. You know, when you teach them what they did wrong, and they usually fail 5 or 6 more times trying to start that same fire before they got it. You know, and she brought that same concept to her husband. She said, I'm going to let him cook. I said, just let him cook. You know, he's not a dumb kid. He can figure it out. But that first meal probably ain't going to be edible. You know what I mean? So she let him make some spaghetti, and I said, just go in the other room and let him figure it out. And that's what they did, you know. And she said, I said, how was it? She said, well, the noodles were burnt on the bottom. And, you know, she had all these critiques for him, but, you know, it was edible. And I guarantee you that he learned more through that experience than he did having her hover over her shoulder, pointing at him, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. Because she just did it. Your hands did the motions, but her mind made it happen. You know, in discernment, we've got to learn how our mind learns how to make that happen. You know what I mean? We can't have somebody else explaining everything to us. Sometimes we've got to have enough room to learn how to discern good and evil. You know, I can think of, without some of these attributes, you know, without having some strength and some integrity and some discernment, what does it look like when you go into the world? You know, you think of watching a football game. You know, football players, they have a time where, you know, you sit there and you watch tapes and you learn plays and you sit down and you strategize on how it's going to be and you're just being coached in the locker room on what's going to happen. You know, and then you might even go out to the practice field and you might practice things in slow motion because you don't want nobody to get hurt. You know, but when do you really know the play? On game day. Because things change on game day. Once you get hit, if you don't know the play, you don't know the play. You know what I mean? You could have studied it over and over and over again, but something happens when it's in full motion and some guy just hits you. If it ain't burned into your memory, it ain't going to be there. You know, and I think of a time when we had a bunch of kids in India that had, you know, they had gone through a Bible school from a big church, and they were coming out there on their mission trip, you know, and they were all excited. I mean, just filled with the Holy Spirit, all excited to go out there and win some souls for God. You know, and they said, we want to go somewhere the gospel's never been before. That's what they said. We want to go somewhere where the gospel's never been before. And it just so happened that we were moving into an area where the gospel had never been before. And how many of you know, if the gospel's never been there before, there's probably a reason why the gospel's never been there before. You know what I mean? Those people aren't exactly open to the gospel. You know, and we took these kids there and they went from coming off that plane so excited. I mean, they're singing worship songs. They're all by about day 2, they're sitting in that room. Every head is hanging. And, you know, they're just defeated. And I said, let's go. It's time to get out there. And they're just like, whoa. I'm like, come on. There's no excitement left in the room. And I said, what's going on? They're like, man, it's hard. I'm like, guaranteed it's hard. You know, that's what I explained to them. You know, why do you think it's hard? Why do you think the gospel's never been here? It's because it is hard. You know, and here these young people thought that they were equipped to handle the things of the world. You know, just coming out of Bible school, they were feeling like they were mature. But there was a lot yet to learn. And they hadn't gotten a hold of some of these concepts yet because, you know, a lot of them in their life, they had been still being on milk. Because it's their mega church with the $2 million worship music band up there playing. It's easy to worship when you got a professional worship team and the perfect sound system with the perfect lighting and everything's just right. It's real easy to enter in. But it's a little harder to enter in when you're in a village by yourself and the devil's attacking you. But if you're not mature, you can't handle those things. You know, and I think they left defeated. You know, we went into the area, we won a lot of souls for the Lord. We did things, we broke ground, and we started churches back in there. But I think they went home defeated because they didn't feel accomplished, and they realized what they were lacking in their life. And I feel that's our church today is much the same way. We sit in a pew and we wait for someone to feed us what the pastor feels they should feed us. We don't spend daily time in God's Word. And if the church collapses, our walk with God probably going to collapse too. You know, how many times have you seen a Christian that they left a church for some reason or another and they stopped following God? That's because they weren't a mature Christian. You know, a mature Christian's going to learn how to go into God's Word, feed themselves. They're going to find a place where God is calling them because they put on those different goggles of, it's not about me, it's about God, and where does God want me? You know, and if we get to that point where we can't have church like this anymore, are we that mature Christian, or do we have work that we need to do within our life? Amen? So that's what God has been convicting me on, is how much of my faith is borrowed from others and how much can I create on my own, just me and God? Do me and God have a good thing going? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just look to you tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would have your hand upon us. Lord, I just pray that if there's something lacking within my life, Lord, that you would reveal that to me. Lord, I just pray that all of us here tonight, we'd be able to bow the knee, Lord, and if there's some area of our life that's holding us back from maturity, Lord, that you would reveal that to us, Lord. And you would give us that hunger and desire to daily seek after you. In Jesus' name, amen.